It's nice to hear from all the saints again. Again, I want to thank you for your prayers and your intercessions. Okay, on behalf of the stewardship, as I also am praying for you, as the Apostle Paul brings out. All right, well, let's read a few verses to warm up. We have a few minutes here before the bell rings. We're going from Ephesians to Psalms to also the Gospel of John today. We're bringing up some interesting points. But here, the Apostle Barnabas, who also worked with the Apostle Paul. In fact, it was Barnabas that introduced the Apostle Paul, or Paul, before he became an apostle, right, to the other elders. But here, Barnabas, he writes these things. He says, wherefore is it that he says by the prophet, let the priest, let them eat of the goat, which is offered in the day of the fast for all the sins. He says, hearken diligently, my brethren, and all the priests. They only should eat the inwards, not washed with vinegar. Why so? Barnabas says, because I know that when I shall hereafter offer my flesh for the sins of a new people, which we are by this adoption, right, you will give me vinegar to drink mixed with gall. And that's what they did with Jesus on the cross. They gave him vinegar to drink with gall. Therefore do you only eat, that is, this portion, the priests only eat these things, but the people fast during this time. But the people fasting the while and lamenting in sackcloth and ashes. Because Christ hasn't come yet, the people continue to lament, but now that Christ has come, we have now partaken of him. As Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So we can see how Jesus fulfilled the goat offering in regarding his own person. He fulfilled it. All right, that's in Barnabas chapter 6, if you want to read more about that. Barnabas chapter 6, 4 through 5. And he goes on, Barnabas goes on, chapter 6, verses 13 15. Well, he talks about the wool and the thorns. Wherefore, you here again see a type of Jesus who was to suffer for us. But what then signifies this? That the wool was to be put into the midst of thorns. Again, this is a very interesting sign and regarding Christ wearing the crown of thorns. Okay, and he goes on here. This also is a figure of Jesus sent out to the church. Whereas he who would take away the scarlet wool must also undergo many difficulties because that thorn was very sharp and with difficulty get it. So they, says Christ, that will see me and come to my kingdom must through many afflictions and troubles attain unto me. So if you want to gain the prize, you have to go through the suffering to reach for the hood that was put upon the goat, which was the scarlet hood. It bore a blessing in it. The scarlet hood bore a blessing, and so the Levite or the priest would take the scapegoat into the wilderness. And then he removed the hood on the goat and released the goat, but then he would take the hood and throw it into the midst of briars and thorns, so that those which want the blessing would have to undergo the suffering to get it. And to attain the blessing, he requires the shedding of blood. And so Jesus also, shedding his blood, says they would attain unto eternal life must undergo also the cycles of suffering. And we do that through the cycles of our growth. Okay, now Barnabas brings another interesting thing to our attention. Here we got about a minute. He says, Barnabas chapter 7, 4 and 5, if you want to make a note on that. Consider how all these things are delivered in a figure to us. It's a symbol and a sign. Okay, this heifer is Jesus Christ. The wicked men that were to offer it are those sinners who were brought him to death, who afterwards have no more to do with it. The sinners have no more the honor of handling it. But the young men that perform the sprinkling signify those who preach to us the forgiveness of sins and the purification of the heart, to whom the Lord gave authority to preach his gospel, being at the beginning 12 to signify the tribes, because there were 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so Barnabas understood the symbolism Okay, that was not only put within the number, but also within the performance of the priest and the offering of the sacrifices. Let's read one here from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14 and 20, where he speaks about the stewardship of Noah and Daniel and Job. And this is what Ezekiel says. He says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. And then he says it again, though Noah, which means the Spirit or the anointing upon Ezekiel, is bringing to our attention the reality of the existence of these people, that these people weren't written as a character in a novel, okay, but these were real living people, stewards. So though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. See, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And the reason why the Lord is revealing this to Ezekiel is showing the connection between the stewardship and the brethren, that if they don't continue in righteousness, that they be also cut off from the promise. Now this is out of Ezekiel 14, verses 14 and also verse 20. Here's another one, Ezekiel 16, verses 2 and 35. He says here, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And that's what we're doing today. We're bringing to the attention of the church concerning their abominations, that they have to change and come out from that system of the flesh and be joined to that which is the kingdom of the Spirit. And this is what he says to them, verse 35. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. And that's what he calls the false religious system, and that's what we see also in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, 18. All right? Everyone should be there. And the book of Ephesians, you want to pick up where we left off. Jesus, finally, my brethren, and that's around verse 10. Okay, let's bring this up to the thought here. Okay, and he brings these things out around verse 9. He says, Master, we also, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is a respect of persons with him. So here, the Apostle Paul is bringing to our attention, remember that God doesn't honor anyone's aspiration, okay, whether employer or employee. Okay, but he only honors that which is of token faith. And this is what he's going to bring out here in verse 10. So he says, finally, brethren, my brethren here, that is, regardless of culture or social trends, in respect to the authority and the divine order, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's like the word strong there. As to be, we can be bold at the altar, okay, with the gifts of his grace. Okay, we can be bold at the altar of Christ, with his gifts of grace. Okay, those tokens of his propitiation. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay, be bold at the altar. This is where we honor Christ. Okay, we honor Christ by promoting faith. So we see there's an exchange, a gift for a gift. Okay, grace upon grace is gift for gift. So he has given us these gifts of salvation so that we in turn honor him, and God takes pleasure in this reciprocation of faith. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. These are the power tools and gifts. So I like the word power there. He does the power tools, tokens, and gifts. These are called the power of his might. This is his might. There's no power in the law of Moses. Okay, there's no power in circumcision. There's no power in water baptism. There's no power in observation of the Sabbath day. Okay, there's no power in that which is the token of tithing. There's no power in token in baptism or communion. Okay, bread and wine. Okay, there's no power in that other than the power, you could say the powers of the passing and temporal things of taste and touch. Okay, but we're to touch him. Okay, we're a taste of him and we're to touch him. So he says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. See that? Strong in the Lord, which means in the anointing. Our patience of faith is in the anointing. And it's in the anointing because we have confidence of reflection. We have confidence of reflection with dreams, visions, any of those tokens which he's provided for us, okay, are worthy to be reflected upon, okay, and brought before him at the altar, okay, in thanksgiving. And this is what Paul brings out, as we also see in the book of Revelation. Okay, in reciprocation of the 24 elders, They give glory, honor, power, blessing, and thanksgiving unto the Lord. That's a form of reciprocation of gift for gift and grace for grace. Okay. If our hands are empty of gifts, okay, then also the hand of the Lord is also empty of his reciprocation. Okay, so it's grace for grace, grace upon grace, wisdom upon wisdom, a token for a token. Okay, so then he talks about being putting on. We see that in verse 11. So you might highlight the word put on. Okay, we'll talk about that here in a moment. But we're strong in the Lord and we're putting him on. Okay, so we can see that the priesthood here is being identified with the sanctified tools, which have to do with the government, truth, and spirit. Okay, these are the tools and tokens which our Lord has provided for us for the perfection of our faith, and for the purification of the conscience and the cleansing of the soul. Okay, without the expression of faith, which you're to walk in and live in, there is no cleansing of the soul or purification of the conscience. When the conscience is pure, then the soul will be cleansed and filled with good things. The chambers of the heart will be filled with those good things. Okay, and it is there that he's writing upon us his new law and commandments to which we know him. We don't know him by the law, for those which were under the law did not know the Lord, except which was presented to them by the priesthood. But our knowing, is in this form of reciprocation, of what he is writing within our hearts. Now, how do we know he's writing in our hearts, you would say? Or you would ask, by the work of regeneration. And how is this manifested? Through the things which he's manifesting in your dreams, your level one dreams. The manifestation of the activity of his work in these dreams are revealing what he's writing within your heart and in your mind. Your perception changes upon the impact of this grace. And truth sets the boundaries, the perimeter of this experience, so that we know him and we can see him. By these things we know him. And this is the language which our Lord Jesus Christ also spoke to his disciples. You have both known him and seen him. He's talking to Philip there. You have both known him and seen him. And they ask, how do we know him and see him? By the knowledge which is being shared. You have seen the face of the Father, in the form of flesh. And today, the righteous see the face of the Father in the knowledge, which is being preached. The knowledge is being shared and being preached, is that which is the face of the Father. In these things we honor and we embrace. In these things your salvation is being sealed. So that being sealed, we live on that expectation of our hope. We're saved by hope. So let's go on here. Finally, my brethren, regardless of the culture or social trends, which exist in each nation, be strong in the Lord, at the altar with his anointing, the power of his might, those things which proceed of himself, as our advocate, and tokens of our propitiation, the tokens of our atonement, that we are now bonded to him, united to him, the tokens of mating, the tokens of mating are present at the time of marriage. At the time of marriage, a vow is set concerning this union, and tokens are presented, as in representation of this union. Usually tokens of gold. And we can see that these were the tokens which were presented also to our Lord when he was born upon his birth, by the wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which is a representation of this mating and stewardship and priesthood, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For that which is a sign of our overcoming, and our overcoming would be the priesthood and stewardship, which was in representation of this divine sign, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So put on the whole armor of God. That's the power of his might. So highlight the word power of his might, and we're putting on the armor. So those of faith use the garments of this priesthood for completion. So we can see that the power tool, the power tool of our reflection, is for your perfection. The power tool for reflection is for your perfection. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I like the word stand there, because we're these things, we're utilizing these things, okay, as our tokens of confidence. The anointing gives us the tokens of confidence that you're not wandering, okay, after your religious imagination. Okay, it's not your religious imagination that you're following. Okay, you're following that, okay, which you both can see and hear. Okay, and this is what Chief Elder John brings out, okay, in his epistle. Okay, that which was in from the beginning, which you have heard with your ears, seen with your eyes, which you have looked upon, and your hands have handled the word of life. Speaking of his stewardship, okay, the stewardship which the Apostle John received from our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we touch, taste, and handle the things of the anointing and the anointed one. So the Apostle John was relaying that message, which Jesus breathed into them, which they also gave the breath of life to the brethren, okay, which I'm also doing to you. I'm breathing on you, okay, or breathing in you. Now that's what Jesus did to his apostles. As he did to Adam, he did to them the breath of life, but not for the purpose of giving power to the flesh, but rather giving power through their faith. So we put on now the new tokens, the tokens of light. We're putting on the flesh of his flesh, okay, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're putting on Christ. Okay, we put on Christ by the Spirit. So those of faith wear the garments of faith. Those of faith use the garments of faith, use the garments of the Spirit, use the garments of this anointing for our completion. Okay, so equity, the divine equity is found in every token. If divine equity is found in every token, then you're putting on his peace, as the scriptures bear that out. We put on the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, what's the purpose? What is ruling in your heart? Your faith is. Okay, so we put on these garments. Okay, we put on the garments, put on the tokens. These are the power tools. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, everything that's involved. The gifts, when he talks about the whole, he's talking about everything that's included. Okay, everything that's included, we're talking about the government, the truth, and the Spirit. Prayer, preaching, and prophecy. The gifts, the callings, and graces of God. Now, those of the false religious system, they can read the value of these things, but yet not experience the value of these things. They read what the apostles experienced, okay, but they're untethered. Those of the false religious system, being untethered, they read the reality of the experience apart from the power of his virtue. Okay, and this is confusing to them. Okay, and so because they don't because they're not experiencing the power, the reality of this work of regeneration, they try to induce it by the law. So they use the law as their scale. Okay, the law it becomes their eyes. But the anointing is to be their eye, not the law. Okay, the law is that written for the purpose of condemnation. Though the law is holy, the commandment is holy and good, just and good, okay, yet it doesn't bring about the divine work of regeneration, neither can it cleanse the conscience. For the conscience could be cleansed by the law, there'd be no need for another sacrifice, okay, or for Jesus to come and die on the cross. Okay, for that which was of the law would be sufficient, but we know it wasn't sufficient. For under it, okay, for under the law, the people continued to struggle with sin, which is rather evident, because every year they were to offer their sacrifices, which is remembrance of sin. But no longer is our sacrifices in recalling of sin, while our sacrifices is in recall of grace. So we're living from grace upon grace. Though the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, as Chief Elder John wrote. Okay, and whereas what he wrote, he also affirmed these things in his epistle. Okay, so writing these things, he was establishing the testimony that Messiah was present, okay, in the Gospels, which words were related to him, and which things were also, okay, were reflected upon, okay, and also put within his epistle. Okay, then we see that in this epistle, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So the Apostle John, writing these epistles, okay, he was stewarding the grace of God in the hearts of the people, as we are doing today. We can see the apostles of the first century, okay, warned of those, okay, that would lead about in religious aspirations. Okay, that's in the imaginary calling. Religious aspirations in the imaginary calling. Okay, those which volunteer their skills, their knowledge skills, intellectual skills, or study skills, which they put confidence, okay, in the skill of the precept. We put confidence, okay, into the skills of the anointing. Okay, our confidence being in the skills of the anointing, the Lord rewards your faith. Okay, faith upon faith. Okay, if your confidence was within the precept, okay, then you would be condemned by the law. Okay, because the law condemns those which don't work with the anointing. Okay, those which don't work with the anointing are condemned by the law as a transgressor, because the law pointed to the anointed one. Okay, so law was not efficient for the work of regeneration, which the anointing is. Those under the anointing were free from the law, and you are free from the law by the Spirit of God. And this is what Paul is bringing out, okay, in Galatians. Okay, concerning the works of the law, okay, which were condemnation, okay, and the aspiration, the imagination, and the principle, okay, which he enumerates in its effect, okay, by bringing out the manifestations of those things, okay, which has to do with envy, strife, okay, debate, deceit, okay, malignity, variance. These are the works of the law. Okay, the law condemns, okay, that mindset as being outside of Christ. Okay, but those which are born in the Spirit labor with charity, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Okay, though which the law cannot condemn, because the anointing frees us from the law. Okay, well, let's go on here. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, we're talking about the word whole there. Okay, in other words, everything included, you are complete by the garments of Christ. Okay, as he came within our flesh to communicate to us this sign language. So when we're putting on Christ, we use his sign language, sign. Okay, I'm not talking about as concerning, okay, the movement of the hand and the arms, sign language. Okay, I'm talking about, okay, the sign language is put within the person, the individual. The sign of the Spirit is upon Christ. We see that the sign of the Lord was upon him at John's baptism, where the Spirit of God descended and lighting upon him. That was a sign. That's the language we speak. That's the language of the anointing. We use his sign language, and we're the flesh of his Spirit, okay, which has to do with the new priesthood, which he provided for us in his flesh. So the righteous gain a new perspective in his priesthood. So we're putting on the whole armor of God. And he uses the word armor there because it protects your faith. The tokens protect your faith. Okay, it protects your faith against what? The wiles or the arrows of the devil. Okay, the wiles of the devil is in the knowledge of this world. It's called evil. Why is the knowledge of the world called evil? Because it bears no life and substance for faith. The knowledge of the world is evil. It bears no life nor substance for faith. So put on the whole armor of God. By which what? He says here that you may be able to stand. Okay, that you won't falter or faint. You won't falter or faint. But you can answer by the anointing. You stand and answer by the anointing. This is what we do on Facebook and Twitter. We answer by the anointing. Okay, the arrows that are shot. The arrows or the wiles of the devil. Okay, Satan uses his ministers as God uses his ministers. Satan uses the ministers of unrighteousness, which the apostles of the first century warned us about, and which we also are aware of today, as Chief Elder Peter said. For as there were false prophets also among the people, so also shall be false teachers among you. A false teacher. What is a false teacher? Well, it's obviously a person that is persuaded by their own skills. They're using their own skill level of study for the purpose of attaining a calling. So they go to a Bible school or a Bible college, okay, in order to receive the credentials that identify their knowledge skills. But our knowledge skills are identified by the anointing and stewardship. It's a completely different system and kingdom. Okay, it's a system and kingdom is built and provided for us by the Lord himself, which tradition began, okay, since the very beginning, okay, which we see in Enoch. We see that also in manifestation of Noah. Each stewardship, each calling, okay, was unique in itself. That which was revealed to Enoch Okay, was different than that which was manifested within Noah. That which was manifested in Noah was unique and differently in the calling of Abraham. Noah was not circumcised. Noah did not observe the Sabbath day. Okay, but Abraham was circumcised. Abraham did not observe the Sabbath day either. Okay, they were unique in themselves. Okay, and God began the seed of his family through the experience and expression of this particular individual, Abraham. Okay, to which we're called the children of Abraham today, by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, following the example, though we're in the flesh, yet we follow that which is of the Spirit, unique and different, as circumcision was unique and different with Adam or with Abraham. Okay, so we're putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we answer by the anointing those intellectual questions of Satan's children, and they are to draw you into the divisive debates. This is to try to humiliate. They're trying to humiliate your faith. They were trying to humiliate the faith of Peter when they said, by what power is this man made whole? And Peter and James and John and the other elders stood there, okay, in the council of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and testified that it was by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this man stands whole before you. When, in other words, the law didn't heal him. Okay, the law didn't heal him. The Spirit healed him. The widow's son was healed by the Spirit upon the stewardship of Elijah, as also the son was also raised from the dead by the Spirit, which is upon the stewardship of Elijah. So we can see it was by the Spirit, not by the law. If the law could bring the healing of the flesh, there was no need for stewardship. But we can see that when the children of Israel in the book of Judges testifies to the fact, when the children of Israel lacked stewardship, they also lacked direction. Though the tabernacle was standing, though the priesthood was active, but without the oversight of the stewardship, the people fell away. We can see that as a testimony of the false religious system today. The falling away began during the sixth Enochian week. Okay, the first eighth week. Okay, the first eighth Enochian week was established through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, being the mediator of transition from the law of Moses, okay, into that which is the law of grace in the flesh, okay, of Christ, which was the Son of David, Jesus being the Son of David, which was manifested, okay, regarding the lepers who wanted their cleansing. The cleansing came by the power of the Spirit, but not by the works of the law. Why would a believer want to revert to the works of the law, okay, in order to receive the cleansing and healing of for the work of regeneration? Simply because of ignorance. Okay, when a person lacks the power of grace, they revert back to law, okay, for their scale and to identify the boundaries of their expression. They use the law to express those things. But perfection were not by the law, cannot be by the law, and will not be by the law. Okay, why the cleansing and expression is through that which is of grace and truth. Grace and truth. The Father labors with the anointing upon this foundation of truth. Okay, so we're putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the answer by the anointing against the wiles of the devil, the arrows of evil knowledge. And now let's jump over now to Psalms 105. So put your marker here. We're going to jump to Psalms 105. We're going to do some reading there. Psalms 105. We're going to read a few verses in here. We'll start around verse 3. We actually can start in verse 1 right there, where he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Now, we just talked about that. We reciprocate with joy to God's fullness by using the sanctified tokens of ownership. And this is to teach us these things, his testimonies. So, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name." These are tokens of his ownership. "Make known his deeds." These are the testimonies among the people. "By doing this, then you shall hear the harmony of the Spirit, and the land will be healed." Okay, we can see that the land today, the earth today, is lamenting because of the transgressions of the people. The earth is lamenting today with hurricane, with hail, with earthquake, with volcano, with plagues. The earth today is lamenting as the four horsemen have been released. Okay, they were released, and the intensity of these judgments, okay, will continue to the time of the rapture, okay, and after the rapture, okay, they will be given in full force, okay, whereas the anger of the Lord would be manifested because of the indifference of the people. Okay, so, and we go to verse 2 here. Okay, sing unto him. So we can see the harmony comes by the token. The harmony comes by a token. So the anointing continues to give us this perfect equity, wherein there's our peace. This is our joy. This is our hope. So we sing unto him, sing songs, psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Communicate his testimonies. And you can see this in a prophetic path on Facebook. The testimonies of the Lord are being manifested. It's there for your reflection. It's there for also your edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, that God's hand is active today in the church in the second, eighth week. Those of the false religious system, okay, desire and covet these things. Okay, but yet they stand aloof because their logic will not agree with the anointing. So they stand aloof of these things. As the Pharisees stand aloof, the precept of the law blinded their eyes, set a barrier, and because of their own malice and their own envy, okay, they rejected the Anointed One, the stewardship of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, in order so that they could retain their position of voice. Instead of allowing the voice of the Lord, okay, to dominate, they allow the voice of their own, okay, philosophy of life. They allow that to prevail. Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord will not work with that. Okay, no more you can put a square peg in a round hole. Sing unto the Lord, or sing unto him, sing songs to him, talk you of all his wondrous works. Okay, all those things that the angels perform. This is his will. All those things the angel perform. The activity of angels is present every day, whether you be awake or whether you be asleep. The activity of the Spirit, okay, is ongoing, is eternal. Though we're presently in these temporary bodies, the labor of the Lord is eternal and everlasting. Glory you in his holy name. See that in verse 3. Let these tokens be your covering and your refuge. These are the power tools Paul's talking about. Okay, glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Okay, I mean those of faith. Let those of faith tether their souls to his power. And that's what we do. Our soul is tethered to the power. The power is the throne. The throne is the loins of our Lord by which we receive his life. Okay, we receive life in the loins of the throne by which he's impregnating us through his form of mating. We're putting on Christ by these things. Okay, and being impregnated, okay, we continue to nurture these things daily. In other words, we're eating his health foods. We're eating the health foods of his government. We're eating the health foods of his truth. We're eating health foods of the Spirit, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God. This is the health food which he's feeding us, the meat of his throne. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek him. See the word rejoice there. Because rejoicing has to do with to be building with. We're building upon these things. Okay, so we're viewing him carefully and stand in reverence of his fear. That is, God is our only source of life. Okay, God is our only source of life. Okay, if we walk according to the law of the flesh, okay, then we're denying the very resource, okay, of his life. The sources of water. When there's plenty of water, see the land expands, the water usage is increased over the portions of land. But when the water is decreased, then the portion of land is also decreased, as well as also the harvest and yield is decreased. Okay, so when you keep your vessel full of faith, it's because you're reflecting upon these things, you're keeping your reservoir full. Okay, so the more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, this is talk about his wondrous works. We're glorying in him. Okay, we're glorying in him. Glory in his holy name. Okay, we're going in his holy name. We're not talking about how to pronounce it properly. Okay, we're talking about the power tools of his kingdom. Okay, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Hide the word seek the Lord because this is where he brings out verse 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Hide the word strength there. Okay, follow the prophetic path in your priesthood. Seek the Lord. Follow the prophetic path in your priesthood. Seek the Lord and his strength, the tokens of Christ. Seek his face evermore. Which we look upon him with a token. You can see him with a token. When you put on the flesh of the Spirit, okay, then you see the face of Christ. Okay, when you say seek his face, it's by the power token. Let's look upon him. Okay, this is the word, and by his words we see him. Seek the Lord in his face, seek his face evermore. The anointing is perpetual. We'll be reading about that here in a moment. The anointing is perpetual. His judgments are in that anointing. He corrects us through that anointing. Okay, as a father corrects his son, he corrects us. He gives us an established perimeter of experience, okay, which, of course, is continually expanding. It expands upon the usage. The more you sow, the more you grow. So it expands and enlarges upon its usage. So the more that you pray in the Spirit as you attend the altar daily, okay, so also is the fruit of your experience. Okay, it will increase with that. Okay, in dreams or in visions or both. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Okay, even just yesterday, okay, Maria was explaining to me that she had three visions while she's in prayer. Okay, in other words, the Spirit Lord breathed within her these things. Okay, and she related them to me. Okay, these things that she saw. Okay, which of course I was in prayer at the same time. Okay, as she was also praying. Okay, and our petitions had to do with the breath of the Lord. Okay, these are the things which I'm sharing with you today. Okay, which is an evidence of what's unfolding now, which is really incredible. Okay, your prayers are in this anointing. Okay, what you're receiving, okay, is evident fact. It's proof, okay, of your labor. Okay, so let's go on here. Remember his marvelous works. I like the word remember there. Reflect upon the divine acts and strange works. The divine acts and strange works. This is what the prophet brings out. Okay, the children which God has given me are for signs and for wonders. Okay, we stand in an example of an invisible world. Our language is a pure language, a language of faith, different than the language of the false religious system. The false religious system mutters things of the soil. They mutter those things which are the sounds of death. Okay, whereas that was the language of the Spirit, okay, we utter those things which would be words of life. Okay, so they utter their own derision while we utter, okay, that which is the purity of his knowledge. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore, remember his marvelous works, okay, that he has done, the manifestation in his stewards, the things which he has done. Okay, and you see this in the illustration there in Facebook. Okay, his wonders, as in Enoch, Noah, Moses, Abraham, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, these correcting acts, selecting people to represent his voice, judgments of his mouth. Okay, the voice of the Lord is in his stewardship. The false religion system feels, empowered by the Bible. They feel empowered by the Bible, whereas we feel empowered through the stewardship. The scale of our discernment is in the stewardship. If the scale of discernment was put merely within the scripture, okay, then there would be complete unity and bonding within a false religious system. The things that they're looking for would be present. But what they're looking for and what they're utilizing is an evident fact. It's a witness against them. Because what they're trying to attain, they're trying to attain it by the force of the flesh. Whereas we, okay, have already attained these things by the yielding of the Spirit. They're trying to take it by the violence of the flesh while we dine on it, okay, with simplicity and with joy, okay, at the table of the Lord. Okay, so remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. You see, he says here, you see Abraham, which I brought out. Okay, you see the offspring of faith. Okay, as in Abraham, this is the flesh under the anointing. The flesh under the anointing, okay, is very different. It's a sign, and it's very different than that which is of that which is the law. We see the differences of these things in the manifestation of stewardship of Samson. That's an example. We see that also in the stewardship of David. Another example. We see this example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how he yet fulfilled the Sabbath day in himself. He broke the Sabbath day, but he fulfilled it in himself. The anointing is that bridge of the flesh. Okay, we see that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. The anointing, okay, bridged that which is the flesh. He slew the enemies of righteousness. He slew the enemies of righteousness, the oppressors of the people of God. Okay, and we do the same thing today. Okay, we subdue and we revenge. We take vengeance. Okay, we take revenge or vengeance against all unrighteousness. As Paul said, when your righteousness is fulfilled, then you take vengeance against all unrighteousness. And that we're doing, for a sword has been given to the church, as the prophet Enoch brought out. Okay, concerning the second eighth week. Okay, a sword should be given to it. Okay, and with the sword, we're taking vengeance against all unrighteousness. Okay, as Abraham took vengeance against Chedorlaomer and Tidal, king of nations. Okay, his judgments were with Abraham, his servant. Okay, he brought vengeance against the oppressors of his people and recovered all things, including his nephew Lot. Okay, nothing was lost. Okay, they gained, and Melchizedek gave witness to that fact upon the exchange of bread and wine. Okay, and upon the gifts of Abraham's reciprocation concerning his priesthood and kingship. Okay, and we go on. So he is the Lord our God, verse 7. That means by covenant tokens he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We'll be talking more about that in a moment here. Okay, because he set policy for an activity daily and his angels carry out his word. Daily. We can see it daily. If you don't believe me, just look at, just listen to the news. Listen to your local news, listen to your national news or global news. Okay, you can hear it. Right, his judgments in all the earth. Where? Weather, harvest, animals, the beast, nations, war, skills, marriage, economics. It's there. Okay, you can see it. Okay, because you're in his light, you can see it. But the sinner cannot see it because they're in darkness. Okay, they can see the flesh, but they don't see the power behind the flesh. We can see this unfolded with Balaam. Okay, when Balaam was riding upon the donkey. Okay, he didn't see the angel Lord standing there. Okay, but the Lord opened the eyes of the donkey, and the donkey spoke. Okay, and it spoke in rebuke against the madness of that prophet. Okay, why have you smitten me? Okay, the anointing is speaking. The anointing is speaking. Why are you smiting the anointing? The anointing is speaking. And those who are under the law smite the anointing. Okay, as the Pharisees also, okay, spit upon the anointed one. So those which are the flesh spit upon those which work with the anointing. Okay, and that suffrage, okay, which has been appointed to us also has reward in its end. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. So back to verse 8 right here. He has remembered his covenant. God builds his kingdom by the powers that he gives us. He gives the righteous forever and ever. The word which he has commanded to 1,000 generations, that's the souls in his bosom. To 1,000 generations, all souls in his bosom heard his judgments. And when the Lord provided the options for us, the glitter or the grace, the glitter or the grace. So is it the glory of the eyes, or is it the glory of his grace? Okay, we chose the glory of his grace, that we chose in confirmation and took a vow that we would follow him as he vowed to us that he would not allow us to wander. Being put into the form of flesh is being put in a kingdom of darkness. Our eyes would be closed. Okay, though the testimony was written in the seat of this conscience, okay, yet our eyes of flesh would not see beyond that veil until the anointing would open our eyes and be that bridge, so that we would see him and know him and honor him, okay, which we do by the anointing. Okay, that which covenant, he says here, this is the point of beginning in the sign of this man, which covenant he made in the sign of a man with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, the promise of the inheritance to be carried forth under those in the anointing, that we are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not called children of Moses. If we were called children of Moses, we'd be obligated to observe the law, okay, and all commandments of the law. Okay, but the law and his commandments pointed to the one which Moses prophesied would come. For he said unto them, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like myself. What he was identifying is that this person is going to give you a new law, a new commandment, which is going to be vastly different than what I'm giving you right now. So the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like to myself. Unto him you shall listen. Okay, which means the stewardship that's going to be represented by this new person. Okay, the last Adam. Okay, is the one which you must embrace. The law will become your barrier if you don't work with the anointing. So when he confirmed the same unto Jacob, he gave witness in dreams as proof of his power. When we see in Jacob's ladder, the revelations that he received. The judgments of God worked with Jacob in order to provide himself as a sign. A sign was upon that man. Okay, when he married Leah and Rachel. Okay, the judgments of the Lord were in that controversy with Laban. The Lord was with that. Okay, for the purpose of birthing the 12 tribes. Okay, and by birthing the 12 tribes, the Lord again emerged, the anointing emerged, signs and wonders. Because through Leah, the one that was given by deception, also came Levi and Judah, which was birthed, what? Stewardship and priesthood, okay, through which Christ came by Judah. Now, if God had not put the sign of the anointing was not present, Leah never would have been given to Jacob, because Jacob desired Rachel. Okay, but God moved Laban to provide this. And Laban said, it is not our tradition to give the younger before the elder. So therefore, Leah was given before Rachel. So you can see how the hand of the Lord was in it. It was not a judgment of condemnation against Jacob for the misleading with Esau. And it had nothing to do with that. Okay, but the carnal-minded continually want to revert to Jacob being called the deceiver. Jacob was not a deceiver. He was a man of faith. He was a man of knowledge. Okay, he was a steward, which God has called. Okay, so that the elder would serve the younger. Esau refused to serve the younger. So therefore, Esau, being born red, okay, would be a protester and died in his protesting later on. So, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. Okay, in other words, God set the boundaries within the flesh. Okay, and the anointing, again, bridges that. And to Israel, see Jacob and Israel here, by the angel at Penuel. Jacob wrestled with the angel at the river Penuel. Okay, and by the wrestling, he says, you have favor with God. Okay, you have favor with God because of this. Okay, and he gave him a new name. His name was changed to Israel. Okay, for an everlasting covenant. And we are the Israel of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Tokens of agreement were now provided through him to us, which carry his spirit, the acts of his anointing upon his stewards. Okay, now let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Okay, so we're going to turn there right now as you get your sacrifices ready. In John, chapter 9. What did he say about that? Where our Lord spoke of these things of his judgments in John, chapter 9 here. John, chapter 9, verse 39. Okay, and Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world. Okay, now we just read about that in Psalms. Okay, and here Jesus, our Lord himself, is expounding on these things, which means I'm bringing the vision and manifesting hearts. What took place in the first 8th week in transition is happening now in fulfillment of that today, of the second 8th week. For judgment, I am come into this world. That the stewardship which the Lord has anointed, okay, is bringing now this distinction. Okay, which, of course, if the distinction wasn't made, then there would be no sin. But because of the stewardship, sin is manifested. Okay, that those which were claiming to be of Christ were indeed following that which is of the aspirations of the flesh. They were calling the aspirations of the flesh their Jesus Christ, which the world was observing. And the world observing such things, okay, kept them in a state of dazzlement. They couldn't figure it out. And as all these different strange children, denominations began to spring all over the place. During the 6th week, the 6th Enochian week, denominations began to spring up all over the place. Philosophies began to spring up all over the place. Because the anointing joins you to the throne, which is the true perspective of God. Okay, but those that are absent of the anointing are independent of the throne. And therefore, they protest against the anointing. And this is what Jesus is bringing to the attention of his disciples. For judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. Well, the people that are claiming to see were the Pharisees. And the Pharisees identified that. So some of the Pharisees thought, are you saying that we're blind? That's right, the law blinded you. Okay, the law blinded you because if you were men of faith, okay, then the law would identify the one that's speaking to you, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, but that's not the case. For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Okay, so Jesus said, for the consenters will recall my word, though being in the flesh, but the protesters, using the light of their own signature and law, but stumble in my light, and choose darkness to shield their guilt from my light. That's what Jesus is talking about, judgment. What unfolded in the first eighth week is now being repeated in the second eighth week. Okay? So what took place during that time, okay, concerning the time of light, the time of darkness, is unfolding now in the time of light, being followed by the time of darkness and great tribulation. Look at verse 40. Now the group of the those which are in apologetics, some of the Pharisees, okay, were called Pharisees there, attending the Bible study that Jesus was teaching there, were rather struck by this knowledge and challenged Jesus. They were challenging Jesus in them, are we blind also? In other words, are you saying our theology is the devil? Is this theology of this veil? Yes, it is. Your theology is a veil. Okay? So you're looped to your own derision. You're claiming faith in God, but you're walking in contradiction of him. We can see the same thing, okay, in responses which I'm giving on Twitter. Okay, one's claiming to keep the commandments of God, but at the same time denying the stewardship, okay, which means they're not keeping the commandments of God. They are breaking the first commandment, the first of the ten. Okay, you shall love the Lord your God. This is the first commandment, okay, and also of the ten. Okay, you shall have no other gods before me, including your aspiration. Okay, and people use the law for their aspirations, okay, which blind them to the anointing, and it severs their soul from the throne. If your soul is severed from the throne, your destination is the lake of fire. But if your soul is tethered to the throne, so is your destination. From the bosom to the bosom. But now look, you see what Jesus said here in verse 41. And Jesus said to them, he was clarifying what he was just saying here. If you were blind, you should have no sin. In other words, your ignorance is not justified, seeing you resist my word as a protester, and you confess to have truth. So your veil of ignorance is still on your conscience. That is, it's keeping you from my light. He's keeping you from my light. You're keeping my light from entering your soul. So Satan remains your master and protests my presence through you. The devil sinned from the beginning, and his record you follow, protesting my plan. Okay, so if you were blind now, we're going to go back to Ephesians here in a minute. Okay, well, after we go to John for a second. Okay, if you were blind, you should have no sin. That's what he's talking about. Sin. When he's talking about sin, he's talking about a kingdom. And he's talking about Satan's kingdom here. Okay, and we can see that this is what he was bringing out, because he brings the thing out about the devil. Okay, during this chapter and the previous chapter, you're of your father the devil. So the sin, he's talking about Satan's kingdom. Okay, so if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. So your knowledge and your philosophy of the Torah is disallowing the light of the anointing to enter in. Okay, we can see that this was their position when they came to hear John the Baptist preach. All right. And they still didn't change. They listened to John the Baptist, and then they rejected Christ. Because if they would have been baptized of John and Jordan River there, then their hearts would have been prepared to receive the anointing. If they responded to the anointing of John, they responded to the anointing of Jesus. Now, jump over here to chapter 16 just for a moment. Chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus is going to go on and explain to his disciples here. Verse 6 here, but because I said it to you, because I said these things unto you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. What is this comfort? The comforter is this anointing, which should be engrafted within you, which, by the way, you can utilize forever. The anointing, which God has engrafted within us, is that power of transformation. Right now, it's transforming us, okay, from the kingdom of darkness into his light. Okay, it's bringing us this experience of life, light and life. It's bringing us this experience. This is the transforming power also, okay, which we will utilize during our visitation of this dimension during the millennium. It is this power that can transform us physically from one form to another form, as it also enlarges our heart. It's a transforming power, the anointing. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. That power which would bring equity for this exchange. But if I depart, I will send them unto you. But when I leave here, I'm going to complete the cycle of life by this gift. I'm going to go back to my Father. Okay, I came out from God, from my Father. I'm going to return to God, to my Father. Okay, and when I return, therefore, you will be able to touch me. Okay, the only time he said, touch me not, he says, I must ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. But then when he appeared to his apostles, he told Thomas to touch him. Touch me. I am your completion. My sacrifice and the cross, my shedding of blood, was for the covenant of this form of contact. Follow this form of contact now. Not that of the sheep, the goats, and the oxen. Okay, not of the turtle doves or pigeons. My blood, okay, my point of contact. So when he was come, and so this is what he says. Now when this sign will happen upon my leaving, because the Spirit will convict the heart of the defiled conscience. When the illumination is present and point to this new and better covenant, faith must be joined to this for your discernment and scale. So when he is coming to the world, and he comes here, the anointing, when he has come, he approved the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. There's the word judgment again. How like that? Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of sin, because they believe not in me, which means the new record. So those that are following the law and commandments of Moses are denying the new record. So that's why they keep repenting. The sinner is constantly repenting. They're going to be repenting all the way to the end. They're continually repent. They're saying, Lord, forgive me my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Well, your form of reciprocation is in defilement. So therefore, your sin remains. But if your form of reciprocation is in grace, okay, then there's no sin. Okay, that's why your charity cleanses your heart. You are saved by charity. Because charity covers the multitude of sin. So, and sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of righteousness, what he's saying here, for I'm the true scale for your faith in the throne, in an invisible priesthood. A true scale, true priesthood. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. That means you're not following that which is the flesh. For I've given you a new invisible priesthood. Okay, you see me no more. I'm not standing before the physical altar. Okay, so I'm an invisible priesthood. I'm a priesthood for you after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and now the next one is judgment. I like sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay, which means I'm here to remove Satan's power and justifications and defile conscience. That's what he's doing now today, of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. So I'm removing the law to my law of grace. So what he's saying right here, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because the anointing had not been engrafted in them yet for the purpose of this cleansing. When the cleansing takes place, when the experience happens, then your eyes will be open and you'll understand everything that I've been telling you. See, not until the conscience is cleansed, then everything I told you will make sense as truth directs the growth in your understanding. Okay, this power the law cannot do. So Satan now is exposed by this new law because the anointing will not work with the religious aspirations. Okay, so their works shall be reproved. The anointing will reprove the works of the flesh. But then he says here, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, that anointing, which is not a lie, okay, it doesn't stand with the aspiration, it only stands in God's perspective. Because at that time he says, when I breathe upon you this life, this baptism, okay, will water the seed of my labor in you. When he's come, he will guide you into all truth. Because he's telling his apostles this now. He's going to assist your understanding of this change, this purpose, and this plan. This plan now, what I say, what I do, okay, which is truth. The manifestation of truth. The character, purpose, and plan. Okay, for he should not speak of himself. It will not voice himself independent of the government stewardship. Okay, that's the point of discernment for the church. Okay, if the person is speaking by the anointing of the Lord, okay, it's not going to speak independently of the stewardship. Those which are uttering the prophecies of the false religious system are speaking utterances independent of the stewardship, untethered from the throne, which is they're prophesying their own condemnation. Okay, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear in the throne, that shall he speak and confirm in the stewardship. And he will show you things to come. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is unfolding to us today. Okay, let's jump over now and close in the book of Ephesians. I'm going back to Ephesians here. So we talked about putting on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, we just saw, okay, how Satan is going to be reproved. How Satan and his children will be reproved and rebuked by those which are of faith, as Paul writes to Titus. But these things which I write unto you, okay, speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. And that's what we're doing. Okay, we're doing the very same thing, identical. All right, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, because we don't struggle with their justifications concerning people, race, or the law. Concerning people, their race, or the law. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? We oppose the ignorance of Satan's slaves. We wrestle against principalities and powers of the air. These are other powers. These powers, principality powers, work with false knowledge called seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, they work with these things. They give witness to error. They give witness to error, like the laughter movement. The laughter movement was a witness of error. That was a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit works, okay, with the passion. Right? Doctrines of devils, they work with the intellect, apologetics. They work with these things. They convince the logic as being truth. Okay, the logic isn't truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the anointed one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, the 13 princes that hold their victims in chains of their own logic. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The passion and personal ambition to control, to dominate, and to destroy. The God code, okay, utilizing corruptible things. Our God code is utilizing the eternal things. So therefore, our soul remains full and overflowing. And we receive back to the Lord, okay, with a full portion. Some 60, some 100, some 30-fold. Okay, so we're working against, we're fighting against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We're destroying the intellectual Jerichos against those who set policy for social environment and to measure success by their issues. Okay, we are setting standards in the scale of Christ. They're setting standards in the scales, okay, in the standards of their self-achievement, okay, the things of this world. That's what's blinding them. The things of their own achievements are blinding them to the reality of God's goodness.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.